All right, so our last performer of the night, please welcome Sheila Ratner.
Story about O.J. and a giant turd. I don't know how I've never been in that position before, but that's definitely a theme there. There's actually a theme of the evening, I'm realizing as I'm listening to these stories, which is not just a bad job, but public humiliation, really, is what this is about. Because people can have bad jobs and be stuck in an office, but, you know, they don't have to, you know, their blinding boredom doesn't really get seen by other people except the other people who are blindly, you know, bored. But we're all performers, so we've all chosen to be, you know, humiliated in this way. Tom mentioned that I had a good story about the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Churn was a butter reveal industrial I did. I'd leave it at that, but there was another performer, Mary Birdsong, who's very popular and getting very successful, and she was Dorothy and could do no wrong, and I was the witch, and the two women actually tried to have me fired during this. They disliked me so much, and it culminated in Mary inadvertently throwing a prop that looked like water to melt me, but it hadn't been used yet in our rehearsal, and it was sort of like having shards of glass thrown into my eyeballs. And so that was somewhere down in Florida. It was a pretty... I worked with an actor, Paul Clausen, who had a to-do list when he got back to New York, which was, you know, like laundry, buy groceries, quit show business. He had a list. Such a concise list. So when Tom asked me, I thought, God, you know, when I first moved to the city, I worked at a home improvement show at the Javits Center killing bugs with a lab coat on demonstrating exterminating equipment. Would that have been my lowest job? You know, the clock was literally going backwards during that job. The time I was catering and a woman yelled across the gallery, "Hey, tuna lady!" Is that when, was I, when I was reduced to not even lady tuna, but tuna lady? Because she enjoyed the seared tuna I was carrying. I had become sort of this fish carrying, you know, things. Was it that, you know? I went to UCLA. At one point, I was working in the library. I was fired because I couldn't stop talking. Seriously. I said, "We always find you in the stacks because everybody's laughing." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. You want me to put AA123.5 next to AA123.5? Are you crazy?" You know? I was doing that and bagging groceries and answering letters at That's Incredible to see if things were really incredible. All at the same time, and I'd have these nightmares about books and letters and groceries. And anyway, so I'm an actress. I live in New York, and I do voiceovers and on-camera commercials. So I signed with my agents for voiceovers, so my opportunities in on-camera were few and far between, so I took the ones I had. I had had the experience of being put on Slim Fast for 12 weeks, and if I lost the weight, they might make a national network commercial out of this. So I was like, you know, one of those, it's a good thing because I'd make a lot of money. It's a bad thing because clearly I'm a fatty if I'm in that commercial. And then there's this horrible before show where they had me in a yellow polo shirt and white pants. I looked like Teddy Kennedy. I mean, really, I was, they had no makeup, no belt, and I was like, but I want the money, and I ended up going with some, you know, it's very arbitrary. They ended up choosing a woman who had just had a baby, so I'm sure in their graphs and charts, who needs Slim Fast the most? You know, they put 12 women on it for 12, and I did. I lost 15 pounds and kept it off. I drove anybody close to me, you know, near the edge of wanting to kill me. But, and my meals were so, I was like, well, that was dinner. It was so quick. So and really, I mean, I like to sit and have some wine. That's it. That's your whole dinner. It goes so quickly, you know. So I get this call one day from my agents, and they said, "Oh, we have an audition. It's for a medical center." I was like, "Yeah, that's good. They want a woman to be funny about having had a brain tumor." I don't know. You know, they said, "Well, Sheila, you know, we looked through the files. We said, if anyone can do it, you know, Sheila Ratner." I'm like, the office is behind me, you know, and all the assistants with big S's on. Okay. You know what? I'm never going to get this, so I'll go on the audition. Oh, by the way, look like you've had, you know, chemo or something when you go. Oh, okay. Let's see. I won't sleep tonight. I mean, what do you mean? So I took all my hair and I put it in a baseball cap and I got to the audition. There's all these women who look like Wit. I don't know if they had the big billboards here. They had them in New York. Or the woman with the that show was like, "I'm gonna live." I'm gonna show but me anyway. So there's all these women with these baseball caps and they say Sheila Ratner. They call me in. The director looks at me. "Ugh, take off the baseball cap. It's been months. This woman is doing it. Please say it like." Oh, I'm sorry. Am I being distasteful? I'm sorry. You call me in to be funny about having a brain tumor. My agent saw me in a dress like I had cancer. Oh, have I committed a faux pas? Sorry. You're the nut at the center of this idea, you know, so... I said, fine, my agent... I don't care what your agent told you. I said, fine. So I fluff up my hair and they seat a man next to me and, you know... They have some pictures, random pictures on the table. Look at those pictures and hold one up and say, this is me, right before I had surgery to have a brain tumor removed. Then your husband is going to say, this is me when I own my pets and pawn shop. And then I say, yeah, but my operation was a success. So, double entendre of operation. So I was like, okay. You know, I had this very devil-may-care attitude because my feeling was, you nuts are never even going to make this thing. I'm certainly not going to. So I do it. He says, okay, now, one more time and look through the pictures and kind of, oh, are we going to the Sanford Meisner School? Now I'm going to get a sense memory from these. This is a picture, you know, of a St. Bernard. I don't even know who this is. So, all right, I feel something. I hold, you know, thanks a lot. See you. You know, you lunatic, so I leave. A couple days later, sure enough, Sheila, you have a call back. I was like, oh, no, no. Medical center? But I'm thinking, you know, as an actress, you have things you wouldn't, you know, I'm obviously not going to do a commercial, you know, well, they don't have commercials for cigarettes, but I mean, you always have your moral, this isn't a center that clubs baby seals, it's a medical center, you know, so do I have a moral dilemma? Again, the callback means nothing. They call back to, we were just talking about this, they call back 20 women these days, it means nothing, and besides which, they're going to test this puppy, and nobody's going to air it, so again, I go to the callback. The director says, I don't think we met last time. My name is Lear. I said, Mr. Just Lear. King Lear? Just Lear. I enjoyed what you did last time. I enjoyed some of the choices you made. My choice was to hold the picture up like you told me to and then get away from you as fast as possible. We're going to talk about my instrument now? I'm a comedian. I don't do all that. You know, come on. Okay. So he says, I want you to just be, you know, funny. They pair me with another man and... a different husband this time. You know, this is me, blah, blah, blah. So I leave, you know, and I hear somebody running after me, and it's Lear. He says, are you available next Wednesday? I said, don't do this. Because, you know, anyone here who auditions, it's the kiss of death when they're like, no one's brought it to life like that. You're the one. Because, you know, they take the thing, and they show it to Mr. White-Collar Idiot, who's the client, and he's like, I don't want to show it to my ex-wife. I mean, there's crazy, arbitrary reasons. They can't tell you you booked it, and they shouldn't. It's almost like a, you know, so I said, Lear, don't do this. And he said, I just have to know, are you available next Wednesday? I said, you know, wide open next Wednesday. See you then. Leave, I forget about it. So now it's the Friday before the Wednesday, and I'm at an audition. I was clearly, something slipped through the cracks. I was at an audition for, it was a new MTV cartoon about an Asian homegirl. I was so clearly wrong for the part. I was like, who did they confuse me with? You know, obviously I got in, these kids at MTV, you know, there's some 12-year-olds auditioning me. They look up at me and they said, go ahead. You know, it was a voiceover, so I, you know, I was like, yo, 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 how was school today? I mean, you know, that sounds... is there a principal of the school, or maybe the lady who lives up the block? I'm not the Asian homegirl, it's so clear. And I've got these six beautiful women, half my size, they're all 20, they're gorgeous. I'm like... hey, the Asian homegirls are here. These are the Asian girls you're supposed to be reading. I don't even know how I got in here. But I see Lear's assistant. And she says, see you next Wednesday. I says, nobody called me. And she said, I said, they better. Because, you know, I just read for something that records Wednesday. You know, this is show business. You don't say, I've read for something I don't have a snowball's chance in hell of getting. But I said, you know, my time's very valuable. I could be recording this next Wednesday. If you want me, you better give them a call. I'm hoping she doesn't pick up the copy. You know, yo, 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 how was school today? You know, so... an hour later, I get the call, you're booked. Great. The next, and it's the following Monday. You know, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to do this, you know. Following Monday, I get a phone call from Kim. This is Kim, I'm the wardrobe person. According to our files here, you're petite, so I'm going to start buying your clothing, you know, for you. I said, oh, Kim, you know, I'm a lot of things, but petite. So simply isn't one of them. I'm like a 10 or a 12. I'm so not petite. Oh, okay. All right, great, great. You know, Lear's very absent-minded. Maybe he put the wrong... I was like, okay. So the next day I get...
I can't stand this.
I get... So the next day, very responsive crowds in LA. So the next day I got a call. I think her name was Eve. She said, I'm the hair and makeup person. I need to see you about matching the hair extensions. I'm like, Eve, not the hair extensions? She goes, well, I guess they're going to have to do a before and after shot with the surgery. I was like, oh, of course. She said, meet me at Ricky's Cosmetics. I'm like, ooh, big budget commercial. I've never been there. It's like at 55th and Broadway. I mean, it's cheesy. So she says, no, I think we're going to get you a wig. You know, be my name is Barbara. I'll leave it at that. I look like Barbara Streisand. This wig looked like that album cover. So she says, see you at the farm. I said, the farm? That's where we're shooting. I'm, of course, the farm. You know, why not? Yeah, you're probably all Scientologists at this point. That night, Ron Palazzo, the producer, calls me at home. Sheila, this is the first time we're doing a union thing. We might go over 8 hours. Would you mind if we went a little over eight? I said, Ron, you shouldn't even be calling me at home. This is weird. I'll see you at the farm, you know. I was like, so I emailed my sister. I said, you know, they think I'm petite, hair extensions are involved. Apparently I'm going to a farm. You don't hear from me in 3 days. My agent's name is Doug Keston. He works at Paradigm on 57th Street. Go find him. You know, I don't know what these people are up to. So at 8 in the morning, I go to 34th and 8th, and a van comes to pick me up. Now, who's playing my husband? As a voiceover, you know, actress, there are certain coveted roles, one of which is to be an M&M, let's face it. Not just for the money, but just, it's, you know, there's some cachet to being on Hard Shell Candy. You get your own website. Who's my husband but Eric Kirschberger, the voice of Crispy the M&M's? I said, Eric, I need to ask you things about it. What's it like? He's like, I'm a voice of an M&M. I'm like, no, you know, I was sort of drooling on it. About an hour into the ride, I get carsick. So I'm like, this is already starting into a really bad day. So we arrive at the farm. And we get, Sheila's here, get the puppies. I was like, we're bordering on like a porn film now. Sheila's here, get the puppies. There's no talk of puppies at the audition. I wish I'd gotten the Asian homegirl thing. I'd be safer in a studio with people watching, you know. So they go and get some Jack Russell Terriers. You know, I've eaten burritos bigger than these dogs. They're so cute. Three of them. I wanted to play with him. No, we got to get you in wardrobe. They scurry off with Eric to take the before shot because he's got the pets and pawn shop. Now it's all going to need to come together. They put me in a dress, very low-cut, beautiful Lord & Taylor dress. So low-cut that they had to have it approved by the three men from the Rowan Medical Center and the two men from the ad agency. Come on out here, Sheila. The you know, boys want to take a look at you. I'm standing there, you know, and there's about five men. I like them.
I like them too, but what about for the commercial?
They're all good old. This is in North Carolina. They're all, I like it, you know, and I was like, mark this time. This is your low. This is your low in show business. You're having your tits approved by five good old, you know, homeboys. So we're good old boys.
This may be your... Does anybody drive a maroon Honda? There's a woman with children waiting at home to get out. Maroon Honda in the parking lot.
I have a silver Honda.
Honda Civic Maroon. Anybody?
No, God, that's just parked there.
Sorry. Not anybody here.
Speaking of my low point in show business. So, I have the breasts approved. They go to take, first of all, I have some props. This is him with the puppies. And then, you know, like my mother's dream come true, here I am being dipped by Crispy the M&M. In my very low... My mother watching my apartment, she said, who is this couple? I said, that's me. She said, no, this couple. I was like, that's me. That's me in all of your dreams every night you go to sleep. This is me. This isn't me. Me and Eric Kirschberger pretending to be a crazy lady with a brain tumor. I'll pass this around. So... When we finally shot the commercial, there was another couple shooting that day, and I kept wanting to hold up their picture. This is me before I had brains removed. Nobody seemed to find that amusing when I would do that. I just thought, interesting surgery, you know? So the Michael Jackson, you know, wing of the hospital. So we've taken the before shot, we're in the kitchen, they lit this kitchen. I'm telling you, it was as indoors as this, and they lit it like we were in a house. It was amazing. I mean, they put a cup of tea on the table. Are you ready, Sheila? This is me before, you know, this is, okay, great. Another time, it's a little lighter. Okay. This is me, but you know, a little more. So about 10 takes, he says. One of the southern guys says, you know, when you say brain tumor, you are sounding very serious. I said, you know, Jeb or Kip or Chip or whatever the hell your name is. Funny, but I find a brain tumor quite serious. Not at the Rowan Medical Center. He says, go to what? He says, it's like a mosquito bite. You just have it, and then you just, you know, sort of itch it off, you know. I said, okay. So we do about 10 more takes. This is me before I had, you know, kind of lightened it up. And at one point, Eric turns to me and says, next take I'm going to say, tumor schmoomer! What did you know about information? Then the tea has suddenly become, the tea is not steaming cut. You know, tea is ready, go! Oh, don't worry about the actors, all the talk of the instruments and the choices. But really, it's about whether the tea is steaming or not. I see. It's all about the tea. So finally, he says, can I talk to you for a minute, Sheila? I said, yeah. So I go out in the hall. I mean, the garb, I mean, the woman had curled half my hair. I was like, you're not done. She goes, that's how they wear it in the South. I was like, halfway? What are you talking about? They wear it like they're crazy? They wear it like they were halfway done? What do you mean? So I'm in this crazy outfit. My hair is half curled. And he says, what we liked about you in the audition is your openness and your funniness. And I need it to be like, yeah, but my operation was a success. Whacka whacka. Whacka whacka. I just want to make sure I have the direction right. Whacka whacka. Yes. So I did it, and they were very, very happy. And we finished. You know, the puppies were put away. We got in the van. These guys came to my one-woman show 3 nights later. I don't know what they expected. They looked a little, you know, scared at the end of it. In the van, one of them said to me, you know, we really like what you did because we had a lot of research done. And people are frightened of large medical machinery in commercials. Hey, next time you're doing that research, you know, this is my address. Send me a check. Research? Yeah, Sheila Ratner being funny, iron lung. Well, of course they're going to want somebody being funny instead of a, you know. So sure enough, I'm like, well, you know what? They'll test it. People will be horrified, flee from the theater. No one's ever, you know, I got a couple checks. It didn't seem to be running. I was like, I'm sure they were just embarrassment checks. Like, I'm sorry you had to be involved in that. 3 months later, I get a phone call from a good friend, Jessica. She happens to be visiting a friend in North Carolina. She happens to be working out at a gym. She almost flies off the treadmill when she looks up. She said, I was running. She said, there you were. Your hair looked really weird. I was like, I know. And there you were, espousing the virtues of the Rowan Medical Center, and as the culminating piece of my story. Not many people have seen this. Believe me, it's not on my reel. Let me put it that way. It's a very special moment. Yeah. Neurosurgery. Here we are.
This was taken right before I had surgery for me.
And this was taken right
Crispy.
Before I opened Pete's Pets and Pawn Shop.
Yeah, but my operation was a success.